Now, the Book of Mormon, on page 38, starting with verse 193, it reads on here, "And shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. They must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb." Now, it is kind of sad to realize that this good book, this Book of Mormon, that many of the people of the world, in fact, the greater part of them, rejected. And yet, it is the Word of God every bit as much as the Bible is. But to each person, he can accept or reject those things which he desires along the way. If he deems to be not of the Lord or not good, then they are rejected. It's a little bit like our likes in our food that we eat. If we like it, we eat it, and if we don't, we don't have anything to do with it. And this is the way with the Word of God here. Those that don't care for this book reject it. And so it is a shame that this does transpire, but this has been the way it has been from the beginning down, that the world as a whole wants to go along in its own ways. We can see, if we only look through the annals of history back to the time of Noah and the destruction that took place there, they had a chance to accept, but they rejected the Word of God for the word of the world, the pleasures of the world. They figured was of more value to them than the Word of God. And this is the way it is today, that Satan is at war with the Lord, and he is at war with us as well. For if you put down your guard, he will soon fasten you with those little flaxen cords that he likes to first wind around your fingers. It's something that you're able to break fairly easy at first, like those that sew. You know, as you put more wraps around something, the stronger it becomes. The same way it is with Satan. The more wraps that he is able to wrap around our fingers, the tighter he is able to tie us, until finally he has a chain around us, and then we can no longer break it, except it be with the help of the Lord. But nevertheless, the Lord has allowed man to accept or reject those things which they deem to be of the Lord or not. "And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the record of thy seed, as well in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Now, he's referring here to the Book of Mormon and also to the Bible, as the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They're the ones that wrote, that transcribed that which is we have today in the New Testament. "Wherefore they both shall be established in one. For there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after he has manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews." The Jews were... from the beginning, back at Abraham and on down, the Jews or the house of Israel has come into being at that time. Ishmael, which was not, for some reason, he was left out there because it wasn't, the promise wasn't through the one that had come. And so he was left aside for the blessing that later fell upon Jacob, that he got through his father Isaac. The Gentiles, which we are part of, as well as the Arabs are part of the Gentile, have as a whole rejected that which the Lord has given. They have followed after Mohammed, and the Gentiles, the rest of the many of the Gentiles, have followed after other idols of whatever they be. There is a question in my mind today if the Protestant denomination follows the same Lord as I do. In my mind, they don't, but there would be those that would debate the issue with me. And after he has manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. We know that he did manifest himself by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles, and this is why we have this Book of Mormon here in this latter time. We have been fortunate, those that are here, to accept it. There are many that have not. And last shall be first, and first shall be last. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word, and also in power, and in every deed, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. And so we can see that we have the same promise, the same blessings as the house of Israel, as they have, if we are but faithful unto the calling that we have accepted. And if we be not faithful unto it, then we will not be blessed any more than the other Jews that reject it as well. But the promise is to those that will adhere to his teaching. And because of the stumbling block, which is here before the Gentiles, the Book of Mormon is pretty well evil spoken of. Now this stumbling block, I will read to you what it is here. On page 146, beginning with verse 9. Why there is this stumbling block of the churches of the world, there still can be many stumbling blocks other than what it refers to right here. Those things which we set first in our life can become idols in our hearts, in our minds, and become a stumbling block to the Word of God if we desire those things above the Lord. We have but to look at the warfare, I say war, that is going on in the outside world. For souls are dying out there for rejecting the Word of God. They have turned away from those things what they should, and the penalty is being paid. We can accept, as I say, or accept or reject. The choice is ours. The Lord doesn't stand there and twist our arm and say, "Come my way." But there's one that is represented in a little red suit with some horns and a pitchfork in his hand that will grab your arm and twist it and say, "Come with me, all is well." So we have to be very careful in these things and seek the Lord out that we might have discernment. For without discernment, we're just as the people of the world are. On verse 90, "And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes." This is what he refers to here, the Gentiles. In the United States, I will refer to, as well as perhaps Canada and some of the other, are in their prideful manner. They go on about their own ways and pay little attention to what the Lord has decreed. "And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches." Now, these many churches are here for but one purpose, and that's to lead people into them and away from Christ. You know, we should understand that Christ is not a divided being. He's not a God of confusion. No, he don't work in that way, but the world would have you think so. For many of them will teach you to come unto our church and all is well. It doesn't matter what you believe, just so far as you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all will be well. It is a fact that you must acknowledge Christ as your personal Savior. That is true, but there's more to it than just that. Nevertheless, they put down the power and the miracles of God. Now, we know that in the outside world, they don't really accept the miracles. They are coming into a greater rule all the time. There are those that are laying on of hands for the healing of the sick, and they also have their prayer cloths that they send out to the sick, and these things are beginning to imitate the true power of the Lord. And they go about it in their cunning little ways, and they are quite convincing to many people. They have the gift of tongues as well in some of the denominations, and we must remember that there is one of the blessings or the gifts that it refers to as the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues as well, or the speaking in of tongues. And because it is there, they find it is an easy one to imitate. So we must remember that the adversary is well able to imitate many of these things. And because of it, he leads people astray. And preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own way, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. Now, if we will but kind of look, take a little thought here, there are those churches that do yoke down their members. They're where this denomination is, or this church. Throughout the land, you'll find the people as a whole are poor. They don't have much. This church yokes them down, it keeps them poor, it takes their money, and keeps them in bondage to them instead of unto the Lord. And there are many churches built up which cause envy and strife and malice. Now, when we have these three things, we know that they are of the opposite spirit. Envy. We shouldn't have that at all, but yet it speaks of it here, which is in these other churches. Strife. Sometimes there is strife within our church. It should not be. Nevertheless, we should rise above these things and not partake of them if we are able to, and lay them aside. Malice. Malice is kind of a dislike for other people. You might even call it a mild dislike or a strong dislike, however you might want to refer to it. But it is a dislike. So we should be very careful about these things. It isn't always easy sometimes to discern between some things. It is only by the help of the Lord that we're able to know of what it is. On page 319, verse 90, start with 89. And also the Spirit saith unto me, yea, crieth unto me with a mighty voice, saying, go forth and say unto this people, repent. For except you repent, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And this is a very true statement here. If we don't repent of those things which are at variance with the Lord, whatever they be, then we may be found wanting. We must repent of those things which we do that are wrong. If we lie, we must repent of them, for a liar cannot be found in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody that steals, the same is true with them. We should not allow these things to be among us. We should rid ourselves of them. We should always give a full measure of the things that we do and not try to short somebody. You see people trying to short other people. We can take a typical example here of people when they go to work. Here we see something that many people work to the hilt. If they go to work at 8 o'clock, some of them try to get in at 8:15, 5:05, 8:10. They try to come in late all the time. And this is really a shame, for they're stealing is what they are doing. Now there's times I realize that to the best of our ability, we're not able to be on time for some things beyond our control. But most of the time, we're able to go to work and be there on time or a few minutes ahead of time. But there are those that will take every, as they say, is you give them a foot, they'll take a mile. I think this is pretty common of some people. So we have to be very careful of these things and repent of those things that we might be doing wrong, as well as we should repent of speaking evil of our brothers or sisters or other people. We should not do this. And again, I say unto you, the Spirit said, behold, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. You are the tree. I am the tree. We have to be careful here. It says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now, when you cut a tree down, it is no longer alive. It's done. It's finished. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewed down and cast into fire, yea, a fire which cannot be consumed, even an unquenchable fire. It has come that time of year when the fruit of the orchards, our gardens, have produced their fruit. Now it's going into winter and they are dormant. But we, the farmers around that have worked in their vineyards, their orchards, or whatever it is, see trees that haven't produced the fruit that they should have. In fact, I remember seeing one this summer in Marvin Ely's orchard. The tree out there has had some yellow leaves on in the middle of summer. And I don't know whether it had any fruit on it or not. But I know what's going to happen to that tree. It is an unfruitful tree. Yeah, you know what's going to happen to it. Same thing's going to happen to the other unfruitful trees that are not obeying the ways of the Lord. They will have the axe laid to them. Now, there are those sometimes. We have our feet planted, in a manner of speaking, in a very rich soil. That rich soil can carry us and waters and feed us. That rich soil, we can liken it unto part of the Word of God or the Spirit of the Lord. That water, we can, that would water the trees, we can liken it unto the Spirit of the Lord as well. And it will nourish those things. But if we don't keep those weeds out of our life, then that life of ours becomes choked. It becomes unproductive. And then we look out and we can see a typical example of a field grown full of weeds when they had planted maybe some corn out there. And these weeds had pretty well choked the fruit that we had planted out in that field. This is the way it is with the Word of God. Those weeds are many things of the world, which is kind of pleasing to us. Sometimes I like to refer to things as people, they got their eye on the pie in the sky instead of upon the Lord Jesus. And because they have their eye on that pie in the sky, we sometimes miss the mark that we should be shooting for. And we are consequently, we sometimes walk in strange paths that we shouldn't. So we should be rather careful here of these things. Behold and remember, the Holy One has spoken it. Now, my beloved brethren, I say unto you, can you withstand these things? Yea, can you lay aside these things and trample the Holy One under your feet? When we do trample Him under our feet, we're going to be the loser. When we trample each other under our feet, we in likewise are trampling the Lord under our feet, and we should be rather careful in this thing. It is given to us to choose the right hand or choose the left hand all the days of our life. Let me read to you here of a prophet of the Lord and what happened to him. Here out of Kings. First Kings, about the 13th chapter. Many of you might recall it, but I'll read quite a little bit of it there, for it just shows that he too had the choice to make. I shall start with verse 4. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. This is a little bit like the example that was given to them of old, there around Moses and Aaron and them, when they were put out of the tent because of leprosy. These things do happen here because he put his hand against that which the Lord had spoken. His hand was withered. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God. I can well imagine the anguish that was in that man's heart. I say I can imagine it. Maybe I don't fully comprehend the anguish that was in his heart at that time when he looked at that arm and seen it withered up, no more useful to him whatsoever. And pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and and the king's hand was restored to him again, and had become as it was before. And the king said unto the man, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, Thou wilt give me half thy house. I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn away, nor turn again by the same way thou hast come. So what he's saying here, as you go down the junction, or down to the town, one way, off of being a half, well, you'd have come back home another way. So you circle clear around and come through Clifton, come across 32, and come back the other way. You don't travel the same way that you went. He has given very careful instructions to this prophet. I will read here quite a little bit more to show you just what the tragic results was when we do that which the Lord had told us not to do. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And the father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto the son, Saddle me an ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that cometh from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. Now here we have somebody entreating this prophet to go against that which the Lord had told him, and shows you that the snares and the traps of the adversary that is there ready to trip you all up if we but give him a chance. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. He well understood what the Lord had told him. But yet, being human, we sometimes, in our folly, do that which we shouldn't. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. He said unto me, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now here we have somebody that's telling him, I'm a prophet also, and an angel has told me to come and tell you these things. But he didn't apparently believe all that the Lord had told him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord come unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that come from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but cometh back, and has eaten bread and drank water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. We can see the tragic results that happens here when we disobey the Lord in our walk of life that we have. The man was very carefully tutored of what he should say and what he should do, and yet he didn't obey. Many of the times, we too suffer the consequences, not to this hair extent that he did, because we go along in the ways of the world, and we don't follow that which the Lord has given us here in the Scriptures to follow. And because of it, that one in that red suit, he kind of laughs and chuckles at us in our human little way and says, "Aha, I've got you." And so he leads us astray. We have to be very careful here. For all people, whoever they be, will come before the Lord and bow the knee to their Father in heaven. Everybody. Let me read that here to you. I believe that is found in Romans in the 14th chapter. In the 10th verse here, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Now many times we do this unthinkingly sometimes of the harm that we do, and we should be rather careful in this thing. We are to judge that which is right and that which is wrong. We know that some things are right and some things are not. And if a person does that, we know sometimes the fruit that they bring forth and why, because they do certain things. By their fruits you shall know, and by their fruits you have judged them to know whether they are following the teachings of Christ or not. "Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" We shall all bow the knee to Christ, not necessarily to each other. And so we should be careful in our judging of certain matters, and be very careful in this thing. For after all, we're going to come, each and every one of us, in our own time, before the judgment seat of God. And if we haven't done that which we should here, we're going to be held accountable for those things. On page 724 in the Book of Mormon, starting with verse 104, "For because, and he that believeth not my words, believeth not my disciples. And if it so be that I do not speak, judge you. For you shall know that it is I that speaketh at the last day." Now we must judge these things that are written here, and hopefully we judge them all good. And we turn not away from them in this walk of life. "For he that believeth these things which I have spoken, him will I visit with the manifestation of my Spirit, and he shall know and bear record. For because of my Spirit he shall know that these things are true, for it persuadeth men to do good, and whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do good is of me. For good cometh of none, save it be of me. I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me that I am, and he that will not believe me will not believe the Father who sent me." Now he's saying here, those that will not believe this book, these records, do not believe in him, though they may profess him with their lips. It is like a good fountain. Bitter water cannot come out of a sweet spring. You cannot get sweet water out of a bitter spring, one that is sour or high in alkali. You just cannot do it. That is the way we are, if we want to look at it in one way. We can be that sweet spring that brings forth sweet water. For behold, I am the Father, I am the light, and the life, and the truth of the world. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will shew unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Now, we know that many of the things that the brother of Jared saw were hid up. They'll not come forth in our day unless we can exercise the faith that the brother Jared did. Sad to say, but we will not behold them things. We must have that good spirit to direct and guide us at all times. In John, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 37. In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now these living waters, with that spirit which Christ has, that will give to all people if they will. Sadly enough, the world as a whole has rejected that thing. Now, I don't mean to imply that the people of the world are condemned, all of them, because they haven't come into this little church of Christ. Elijah, that I have mentioned before, was feeling quite downcast. He was lamenting to the Lord that he was the only one that was still true to the Lord. And the Lord opened his mind and understanding and told him there are 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal as yet, that he had reserved unto himself. I believe it says 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee. So there are souls in the outside world that will make it into the kingdom of heaven, the same as we will. But if they had have come into the church, they could have had life, a far richer life than what they're having. They are missing many of the things that are here that the Lord has put for our blessings. Because of it, they for some reason or another, haven't come in contact with that which is to their understanding, that which is right. They have stood on the outside. Now you cannot hear the words of the Book of Mormon and know them and reject them and come into the kingdom of heaven. You just cannot deny Christ and then have salvation on the other hand. As their saying is, I will eat my cake and have it too. This is not the situation, nor will it be. We must acknowledge Him, and we must be faithful unto Him all our days. And if we are faithful unto Him, then all will be well with us. We will have those rivers of water there to feed us, to direct and guide us. In the 22nd chapter here of Revelations, read a few verses beginning with verse number 1. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, we can look at the water in our days, and we can look out here at the river, and sometimes it's real muddy and murky and really not very pleasing to the eye at all. But at times we're up in the hills in the high country, and We see a spring, and out of it comes very clear water. We think, my, what good water. And we taste of it. And this is the way it is that I'm sure here is he speaks of it, which is clear as crystal. It must be sweet and good, which it is. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were to the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now we can see here those that have partaken of that spirit, have partaken of that eternal salvation. It's a little bit, we can see a typical example here of those trees that might be out in the desert that's around the spring. You know, the trees don't know to fear drought. Drought comes, they don't know it. They got their roots down in the ground there where it's moist. There's water from that spring, and it feeds them in drought or in times of plenty. And that's the way it is here with the Spirit of the Lord. It can feed us in times of drought. It can feed us in times of plenty. And them droughts that are around us as the people suffer, we can escape them things by His Spirit, by adhering to His commandments. For He has said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if we keep His commandments, then all will be well. So if we are faithful to Him, all will be well. We can be like those trees that's in the desert and need no fear of the drought.
Dear friends, thank you for your assistance with our outstanding medical bills. Your help was very much appreciated. Love and prayers, Becky, Alan, and family. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have prayer service, and we need to remember the Phoenix reunion and good many other things, so we make preparations for that. We'll close with number 28. 28. Let us stand.
Thank you.
Lord, and we thank you for the words that's been brought to us. And we would pray that each one of us might strive with great diligence to walk uprightly before thee, and that we might truly search out that living water, that we might have thy blessings to be with us, and that we might be able to impart of our knowledge unto others, that we might lead others unto thee. And we would pray for those that are downcast and have great burdens to bear. We would ask that you would strengthen them, bless those that are sick, and we would pray for those that are traveling from the highway, and be with those who cannot attend us, just for one reason or another. And we would pray that your Spirit might go with us to watch over us, protect us, and give us the direction.